across the globe, but this week has been commemorated as the Israeli Apartheid Week. We've been hosting various discussions throughout the week, exploring various aspects relating to Israeli Apartheid Week and the current condition that the Middle East finds itself in. We're joined on the line by Maulana Yusuf Patel, who's from the Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, as well as the United Ulama Council of South Africa, who will be talking to us about Israeli Apartheid Week. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To you and to the listeners of Radio Islam.
Jazakumullah khair for your time. Maulana, what is Israeli Apartheid Week all about?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the 12th International Israeli Apartheid Week. And in South Africa, it takes place between the 7th and 13th of March. Now, the Israeli Apartheid Week is an annual international campaign held in over 250 cities across the globe. And in South Africa, it is endorsed by more than 85 organizations, trade unions, some political parties, and various faith groups. The aim of the International Israeli Apartheid Week is to raise awareness of Israel's apartheid policies towards the Palestinians, and to build support for the non-violent boycott, investment and sanctions against Israel, with the hope of bringing pressure to end Israel's apartheid policies and violations of international law in the very same way that this kind of pressure was brought to bear on South Africa at one stage, and eventually because of the economic pressure, because of the international pressure, South Africa was viewed as a pariah state, and it could no longer afford to sustain that kind of image, and it had to then give way for some kind of democratic process. So, yes, the Israel Apartheid Week is meant to highlight the racist nature of the State of Israel. It is meant to keep the spirit of struggle alive. It is meant to conscientize and to exert pressure through the advocacy of boycott and disinvestment. It is to reassure our Palestinian brethren that they are not alone in their fight against apartheid brutality. And as South Africans, I think we are readily able to identify with the treatment meted out to second-class citizens.
Yes, absolutely. Ma, you know, speaking about the treatment that is meted out to second-class citizens, can you perhaps give us instances of apartheid that affect people on the ground in Palestine?
Well, Israel is the only country in the world that distinguishes between nationality and citizenship. So, Israeli nationality is guaranteed only to those of the Jewish faith. Hence, only Jews have full rights in the State of Israel. Now, if you look at some aspects of how this pans out on the ground, obviously, there is no freedom of speech for Palestinians, there's no freedom of assembly, there's no freedom of movement. You have detention without trial. You have house searches without warrants. You have, in many instances, assassination. You have the expansion of illegal settlements. The total amount of private and public land confiscated from Palestinian control amounts to about 73% in the occupied West Bank. Then you have the ghastly apartheid wall, which separates not only Palestinians from Israelis, but it separates Palestinians from Palestinians. It separates Palestinians from their farmlands, from their schools, from clinics, from places of work. Palestinians must pass through military checkpoints where Israeli soldiers routinely harass and intimidate them, or simply delay their passage. Palestinians in the main are denied the right to vote, and millions of Palestinians remain refugees in Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and elsewhere, unable to return to their homeland, to the place of birth. Palestinian refugees who remain displaced are also victims of laws that remove their property and citizenship rights. These are, you know, some of the instances of how apartheid affects the lives of ordinary citizens in occupied Palestine.
Then, in terms of how the Arabs as well as the Israelis are viewed, or Jews are viewed, why is it that we find that Arabs are viewed as second-class citizens, or we could say inferior?
Well, to understand the historical treatment of Palestinians, or regarded, as you say, as Arabs, we need to go back, way back into history. The Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam, is essentially regarded as the father of both Jews, Christians, and of Muslims. The Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam, had two sons. One was Ishaq, alayhi salatu wassalam, whose mother was Sarah, radiallahu anha. And the progeny of the Banu Israel came from that, from Sarah, radiallahu anha. The Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salam, also had a second wife by the name of Hajra, who gave birth to Ismail, alayhi salatu wassalam, and from that progeny came the Arabs and eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the Yahud believe that Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam, was not legally married to Hajra, radiallahu anha. He committed zina with Hajra, and therefore the Arabs are children of an illegitimate union between Nabi Ibrahim and Hajra. And as a result, people, or this progeny of illegitimate children, do not enjoy equal rights and equal status as human beings. If you look at the Quran, Allah Ta'ala talks of a segment of the Ahlul Kitab, and it says, وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْتَارِ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. Among the people of the Ahlul Kitab, there are those who subscribe to the notion of justice, there are those who subscribe to the notion of human equality, there are people of outstanding character, honest, truthful, to the extent that the Quran says, "Man in ta'manhu bi qintar," that if you entrusted a qintar, an entire treasure of gold, and they would return it to you because of their fairness, because of their honesty, because of the fact that they subscribe to the notion of justice. The verse goes on to say, وَمِنْهُمْ, but among them are those مَنْهُ بِدِينَارِ, that if you entrust a single coin to them, one dinar, they would not return that to you. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا, and that is because they say that no blame can attach to us for anything that we may do with regards to these unlettered folk. They say, عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ السَّبِيلِ, that we have no moral obligation to this illegitimate, unlettered group of people. So I think we cannot have a generalize and say this is the approach of all people of Ahlul Kitab. The Quran draws this distinction itself and says there are people with absolute integrity who would return even an entire treasure, a mountain of gold, back to you. But there are others who feel they have no moral obligation to these people who are often referred to as ummi, the unlettered. And perhaps this is one reason why, you know, land is expropriated willy-nilly, people are oppressed to the extent that they are oppressed, because they're not regarded as equals. They're not regarded, as people who ought to enjoy equal human rights, equal access to the courts of law, and equal treatment in the way they live and engage with their fellow citizens.
Interesting perspective that you give us in that regard. To sum it up, Maulana, what are you calling on listeners to do during the Israeli Apartheid Week?
Well, as I said earlier on, that the Israeli Apartheid Week is meant to highlight the racist nature of the state of Israel. And that is something we need to take, conscientize people, bring this to the fore, not as simply as Muslims, but to view the atrocities and the oppression as an onslaught to, compromising the dignity of a people. The Apartheid Week is meant to keep the spirit of struggle alive. It is meant to exert pressure through the advocacy of boycotts and disinvestments. So, it is to reassure our Palestinian brethren that we are with them and they are not alone in their fight against the brutality of apartheid. So, I think it is our duty to conscientize people. It is our duty, especially when we talk to non-Muslimin, it is our duty to highlight the plight of people. It is our duty to ensure that we are able, through to contribute in ways that we can alleviate the plight of them, financially, through the word of mouth, through the media, etc.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Maulana, we appreciate your time, as always, on Radio Islam. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
That was Maulana Yusuf Patel speaking to us about Israeli Apartheid Week, filling us in about the various aspects and dimensions in this regard, bringing us on to 26 minutes past 7.